Let's go to Isaiah 55, and I'm just going to take you into what God has used in my life this week to recharge me. All right, is that okay? If you devalue the importance of your devotions, then let me stand here tonight as an example of how powerful they truly are in your life. There's been a lot of, like I said, battles and things that we've been facing, both in our church and people's lives. And when I say in our church, we don't talk about church issues, all right? We're talking about personal issues in other people's lives. We carry those. Those mean the world to us. I told somebody tonight, I've cried and cried and cried over some of the conditions of things that are people are going through this week, and then all of a sudden tears start flowing again, and I wonder how I have them, because I thought I had cried them all out. You ever been there? And instead of just sitting there and saying, oh God, how could this happen? Literally, those tears have been taken to God, saying, God, you're the provider, and these tears of mine, this heart of mine, this is the offering. Matter of fact, I shared with somebody today, at the end, when Jesus is the only one found worthy to stand and open the books, that the gift given to him are the tears of the saints that are bottled in vials. Now listen to me. That simply means this. Those tears are priceless to God. Why? Because those tears represent everything he died for and everything he conquered and everything he took out. And you may sit there and say, why am I so weak? And God sits there and says, worship. Just keep worshiping. Just keep pouring it out. So listen, in Isaiah 55, let's go to verse number 1. All right? This verse is like the rock star verse. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money. Thank God, we all qualify, right? Even if you have no money, come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all, say it. Free. What can you do to earn the love of God? Absolutely nothing. The love of God is made available free, and the provision of God is made available free. All that you've got to do is a four-letter word, come. Come to him. So look at this. Let's take some verses and kind of dissect them. Timmy, I'm just going to stay with you, all right? In verse number 2, let's keep reading. Just stay with me. We're going to go through. It says, why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? And why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, all right? So first, you what? You come. Second, you what? Listen. All right, now listen to me. When you go to your spouse with an issue that's in your life, or you go to your guidance counselor at school, or you're admitting by going to them that something isn't right, or that you are in need. It is great to go to them, but it is worthless if you only go to them to be heard. At some point, you need to go to them to listen. All right, and God's saying, come to me if you're hungry. I'm going to feed you, and it's free. All right, but then second, listen to me. Listen, and you will what? Eat what is good. So write this down. First, I come. I come to God with an open mind and an open heart. I come to God with a willing mind, a focused mind, and a focused heart. And I say to God, speak. Tell me, show me, feed me, nurture me. Literally, Monday, this is how I started. I got on my knees and I said, okay, God, I need some nourishment and I need some strength. So I am coming to you to be fed. And immediately I heard in my mind, go to Isaiah 55. And I opened it up and the very first words were, hey, if you're hungry or thirsty, come get some milk or some wine. Take your choice. It's free. But then when we got there, it started breaking down and God started saying, okay, now listen to me. This is what I'm going to tell you. And then once you listen to me, start chewing on it. Once you hear what I'm saying to you, start processing it in your life. Now, here's the truth. A lot of people come to God. Some people will even listen to God. But rarely do they chew on God. Rarely do they let the things of God be what's on their mind. Hey, the Bible said he will keep in perfect peace all whose minds are what? Fixed, settled, focused on him. Now, can I say this? The way to overcome doubt, the way to overcome fear, the way to overcome anxiety, the way to overcome heartache and heartbreak and worthlessness, emotions and feelings that are harmful and negative in your life, the only way to do it is to feed on God. That doesn't mean that you're 24-7 with your Bible open. It doesn't mean that you're 24-7 on your knees or like some we've seen do, whipping yourself or doing these things that Paul says they feel like you're committed. They feel like they're doing something for you, but they're pretty much worthless and vain because they have no truth and they have no value. He's saying, hey, when you come, the way to do it is to listen to what God says in those moments that you're able to come, and then to chew on those things like a cow in a field the rest of the day, to allow it to just be processed again and again and again. What good does it do to know the Word of God and never use it? What good does it do to hear the Word of God and forget it? Oh, that we would desire God's Word as much as we desire music. Oh, that we would desire God's Word as much as we desire food. Oh, that we would desire to have God's Word living in our lives and through our lives more than we would desire anything. Why? Because His Word is the lamp for our feet. It is the guide to our path. It is the only way for you to be fulfilled and filled with the things you need. And we've been saying it lately. Be filled so that you can be spilled. And you're going to be filled with something every single day. You're either going to be filled with anxiety, negativity, heartbreak, or you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And whatever you're filled with is what you'll spill over into the lives of others. I mean, are you understanding this tonight? Look, I don't want to be somebody that walks in. Like tonight, I had no idea what was waiting on me when I got here in the personal lives of others. But had I not had God's Word in my heart and on my mind every day, when I walked in, it would have been a wham, bam, Satan in your face, and now you don't know what to do. But you know what? I'm going to say this. By the grace of God, the first thing I did this morning was get in His Word, and the next thing I did was go to war. All right? And throughout the day, you know what's happened? His Word has resonated again and again in my life and in my heart and in my mind. You know, I'm going to tell you, we need to listen, and then we need to eat, and then look what it says. What's that last sentence? You will enjoy the finest food. All right, now, for those of you that are thinking we're talking about actual steaks and potatoes, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the things that actually nourish your body. The things that actually help you get stronger. I mean, the things that actually grow you and make you. The things that keep you from letting the world break you. And today, we're calling on you to come into the presence of God. To listen to what God's saying and to enjoy, to eat, to nurture on. Matter of fact, can I say this? If you do not take notes or journal, you're going to forget and miss so much of what God's trying to reveal to you. Now, I'm not just talking about right here in church. I'm talking about when you're just driving on the road. You need to have the voice memo app on your phone. And when God speaks, maybe through the radio or a song, you need to record what God has said to you. When you're at home and you're reading God's Word, or you're at home and hopefully you do this, you've got some DVDs or videos that are godly speakers and godly nurturing. I do series all the time where I'll find out somebody's doing a 40-day of love series and they release the DVD and I get it and I buy it and I go home and I do my own personal Bible studies. But I never do a Bible study without a pen and a paper. Why? Because I don't want to miss what God's saying. I don't want to miss what God's revealing. Why? Because even if I don't need it now, I know I'm going to need it, or He wouldn't have revealed it in the first place. Now, are you with me? So keep looking. If you go on verse number 3, just get all the verses ready, because I'm going to go as far as I can with this chapter, and then I'm going to let you go home and take it the rest of the way. It says, come to me with what? Your ears wide open. All right? Why not your eyes? I stopped and I said, God, why not my eyes? You know, because seeing's not believing. I got to see it to believe it. No, most of the things you need to believe in this world, you can't see. I mean, am I right? One of the scriptures that I struggle with, on a daily basis I struggle with, is when it says that Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and saw the wind. No, you can feel the wind, you can see the effects of the wind, but what does it mean to see the wind? For about 3 months now, I've chased the meaning of that verse. And here it is, and God's saying, come to me with your ears wide open. Here's why. Because a lot of times when everything else is open, it's either you're being poisoned or you're poisoning. All right? When your mouth's open, and you can say some stupid stuff. All right? You can put some junk out. Am I right? Everybody, I'm not going to make you raise your hand. We've all got a guilty part there. All right? No. When my eyes are open, I can see things. All right? But you can control what you listen to. Am I right? Sometimes I can't control what I see. Yeah, I can be driving on the road and all of a sudden there'd be a wreck or something. I look over to the right and see a horrific wreck. I didn't plan that. You can be walking down the road and see somebody just haul off and hit a kid. You didn't plan that. But that visual sticks with you. You can't control what you see, but You control what you listen to. If you don't believe that, let me just talk to your wife for a little bit, all right? Let me talk to your kids for a little. Let me talk to your mom and dad for a little bit. There's sometimes that they're speaking and you act like you're listening, but you got your ears off. And here's the thing. A lot of times we go to church, we got our eyes open, we got our mouths open, we got everything open, but we don't have our ears open, and therefore we can't hear what we need to hear. And God said, come to me with your ears wide open. And you know what an ear wide open represents? Somebody willing to learn. Somebody willing to grow. Somebody willing to grow maybe in a relationship with God. Hey, somebody that listens to you loves you. They want to grow closer to you. If they don't listen, they don't love. Why? Because listening helps me learn you. It helps me get to know. I mean, there's most every counseling appointment I have scheduled on my list, I have no idea why they're coming. I mean, and when they walk in, one of the first questions we ask, unless they told me they're coming, all right, the first question I ask is, it's yours, why are you here? Why are you here? Why? Because I could come in there and say, you know, all spiritual, they're in my office, they need to hear my words of wisdom. Well, what good would it do if you schedule an appointment because, you know, you need to help changing a tire and you just don't know how. And so you came in and asked me how to do it. You walked into my office, and because you're in my office, I think you need to hear me. And I walk in and I say, well, I have a word from the Lord. Let me give you some scripture. Let me throw these things out there. And let me just, and I go on for an hour and a half on being a good husband, being a good wife because you came in as a couple. All right? And then at the end of it, what are you going to think? This guy's an idiot. Why? Because all I needed to ask is about my tire. But why wasn't I able to help you with your tire? Because I didn't shut my mouth and open my ears. Can I say this? There's a lot of times that we blame God for not helping us, and it's not that God's not helping us. It's you're not stopping and opening your ears to hear what he's trying to tell you to do. You're not listening to the instructions. I'm not listening to the instructions. And as a result, I get off track. As a result, I feel like God doesn't love me. As a result, I have those moments where I'm like, God, where are you? And why don't you hear me? And why don't you care? And God's like, hey, stop talking. Be slow to speak, slow to get angry, and quick to listen. Open your ears. And don't just open to hear what you want to hear. Get them wide open so I can put in there exactly what's needed. You know, maybe some of you need to go home with your spouse and kids and say, my ears are wide open. Say it. I want to hear you. I want to know you. You know, listen, wouldn't it be great if on Sunday or tonight when we came in here, we sat down and our first thought is, God, I'm here. My heart is open for you to filter in. My eyes are open because I want to see you. But my ears are open because I want to hear you. God, I'm totally surrendering my senses to you and to you alone. You know what happens? You don't hear the baby crying. You don't hear the kids getting loud and for about another 3 weeks. We should cherish these next few weeks moments because this time is almost over to where we don't hear that any longer as they're in their own facility. But as we do that and you don't hear those things, you only hear what God is saying. And in a world that is full of chaos, you need your tunes open to God's voice and your ears tuned in, everything else closed so that you can hear what God's got to say. He says, listen, and you will what? Find life. You know, my prayer this week, and I don't know why God always exposes my weaknesses, but my prayer this week was, God, I want to live. I don't want to die in ministry. I want to live through ministry. I don't want to dry up in ministry. I want to sprout to life in ministry. And in here, as he brought me to this passage, he began to just work on my everything that I is pouring out. There he is. You know what I've heard is that in the very next chapter, by the way, that God's ears are not closed, all right? They're not heavy that he cannot hear, neither his arm shortened that he cannot say. And it's like God hears you. God hears everything you say. God hears the things you don't say. That's the thoughts in your mind. That's kind of scary, but we'll stay away from it. But he hears it all. But do you hear him at all? Are you open to him? Because that's where life is found. It goes on this and he says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you and I will give you the unfailing love. The number one desire by all mankind is to be loved. And God says, I will give you unfailing love that I promised to David. Look at the next chapter. All right, next verse. See, there it is. Now he brings your eyes out. Have you ever noticed this? That once you hear it correctly, you can see it better? Yeah, you know what I mean? I remember when Casey first started singing. All right, for those of you that don't get Casey, she was the one in the middle tonight. Is she in here? Okay, she's up there. All right, good, good. Now I'm not talking about her behind her back. I'm going to say it right to her face, all right? It was bad. I mean, it was bad, all right? We would hit a note on the piano. Brian, back me up. We'd hit a note on the piano, and we'd say, Casey, hit it. And it would be... Why are you out of your chair? Go sit down. All right? I'll set the... No. Am I right? We hit this. And be like, bum. And she'd be like, No, hit it. This. No, hit this. All right? Yeah. Hit this. And so they begin to work on her. Brian and others begin to work on how to tune her ears to the tune. All right? And so what happens is when your ears get tuned... You're able to see the music, hear the music, feel the music, and then guess what happens? You're able to actually sing the music. Right? Now, in your life, it's the same way. When our ears get in tune, so do our eyes. You know, God, I want to know if this is the person that you want me to date. And when God says no, you actually see why. You see the things that you feel like these are just obstacles we have to come over in our dating relationship. They're not obstacles. They're actually roadblocks that God's trying to keep you from a terrible relationship. And when you realize that and you're hearing God, you see and say, what I thought was best for me is not good at all. Nothing about the person. They're just not good for me. It's the same with your career. It's the same with your choices. When you're hearing God, you see things clearly. And he says, hey, once you've heard me, write this down. This is the next step. See how I used him to what? Display my power. In other words, God is always putting on a show, but have you ever attended? I mean, God is always doing a concert. Last night we had a concert right here in our Celebrate Recovery, all right? And yeah, apparently they were good because some people are cheering, all right? And I know this, I didn't get to go to the concert, but I got to meet the band and they had hearts and it was good. I like it when they have a spirit about them. And so as we look at that, right? When their hearts are in tune, then when they sing in tune, what does it do? It ministers God to others. When my heart is out of tune, when my body, my life is out of tune, I can't see where God's trying to take me. And I can't see what God's trying to do. And so what I start doing is making up my own way. Doing things in my own abilities. And anybody else have a testimony of how well that does not work out? All right? I mean, it just doesn't do it. And he says, see how I've displayed my power among the people. I made him David. Oh, if you don't know, David was a failure. David was a coward. David was the one that got the anointing of God, the literal anointing of God, and then ran and hid in caves and in jungles. David was the one that once he got into power and arrived at where God wanted him to do, surrendered at a time, the Bible says, when a king should be at war, he is on his rooftop looking at another woman bathing naked, sleeps with her, gets her pregnant, and then murders her husband, David. All right? And you say, well, you don't know me. I don't know you, but I know David. And if God can use David, God can use you. All right? If God can use Abraham and Noah and all the mistakes they made, God can use a you. Why? Because when God gets in there and Jesus gets in there, can I tell you what Isaiah 55 is an illustration of? Salvation. The whole passage is to depict salvation. And there is no accident, while he's describing salvation, David's name pops up. Because if there's any character of the Bible that proves that the salvation of the Lord can change your life, it's David. And God said, hey, here's this horrible man by the world's standards that I have raised to power among people, the leader of nations. And so, hey, listen, when I come to God, right, I listen to God, I eat God, and I open my ears, I do these things to God. I'm focused on God. I see God. Then God raises me up to be seen by others. All right? It's only those that have stood in the presence of God that get to stand on the power of God in the presence of others. And a lot of times we sit here and we want this and want this and want this, but we don't want to give ourselves and surrender to what God's going to do. All right, now listen. Look at this, and I'm not even going to get there. All right, here we go. Verse number 5. Keep going with me. You also will command nations. Now he shifted it. You say this is an Old Testament. Isaiah is full of prophecy. Isaiah, this passage is being written as if Jesus has already died and rose again. Even though he hadn't. Now isn't that a spiritual gift? All right, and Isaiah, as he's writing this, he says, hey, you, Let's get the focus off of the Old Testament characters and let's start talking about you. You also will command nations that you do not know, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey. Hey, because I, not you, because I, not who you are, but because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you what? Glorious. Man, I love that. Man, after I read that verse, can I tell you what I did? I shut my Bible and I spoke to Satan. You said, what? I spoke to Satan. You say, I told my Monday night class, there's a lot of times you need to speak to God, but there are times you need to speak to the enemy. And there are times you need to look at him. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Jesus did not ignore the enemy. He struck the enemy down. You say, through the cross. No, in his temptation of the 40 days in the wilderness. Jesus did not just pretend Satan wasn't there. Jesus looked straight at Satan and said, you will not tempt me. You will not tempt the Lord your God. He says, hey, you will not have this. I shut my Bible. I stood up in the middle of my house. Thank God I was alone. They'd have thought I was crazy. And I slammed the table and I said, Satan, get out of here because I have been made glorious and I will not let you take what God is doing in my life. I will not let you take my confidence and I will not let you have these things. Now, some may try to misinterpret that and say he was praying to Satan. No, I was rebuking Satan, and I made sure to end it in this. I have been made glorious in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I mean, I got a little sarcastic. You know? You know, you ever get there, you like to push somebody's buttons. You've done it. Right? You've done it. You don't like it, I keep not. I mean, why is it that we like to push each other's buttons, but we never push Satan's? You say, well, you push somebody's buttons, they blow up. Exactly. Let's go let that guy blow up and let's let him just get out of there, you know? It's just like, hey, Satan, what do you think about that name? Let's talk about that name. What can you do to that name? And how can you handle that name? And do you like hearing that name? So let me just say that name. It's Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. He made me glorious. Not you. And so what he has done and what he has created is not for sale. It's not for you to come in. Keep going. I'm going to get hung up on that verse. Matter of fact, some of you need to write that verse on your mirror. I mean, get your lipstick out when you get home and write it on your mirror. Hopefully, Brandon, you don't have any, all right? But get something and write. If he has some, Harrison, all right, let us know. We'll talk to Brandon, all right? No, I'm just kidding. But get something out and put it out there. Hey, listen, how many times a day do you get told that you're something opposite of glorious? How many times a day, whether it's you saying it to yourself in your mind or somebody else saying it to you, how many times a day does Satan try to tear down what God has made you? All right, think about that. One of my favorite lines in marriage is, what God has put together, let no one tear asunder. Because if God is the mortar that holds the bricks together, if God is the cord that makes the triple braided of our relationship, then there is nothing that hell can do about it. There's nothing that they can do to break it. Why? Because God is stable. God is true. Sorry. So then it says this, number 6, seek. No, you know, here it is. The first part tells you to be active in your coming, and then it tells you to stop. To listen, to eat, to nourish on. All right? To open ears and let more in. To see. And then it tells you to do what? Get busy. Seek. How many of you have heard this? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will knock. Okay. So let's break that down. My first is a paralyzed state before God saying, I need. Then the next is an active state to where I go. And the last is a confident state to where when I get to where God has called me to be, I actually knock on the door. Open this door. And he says, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. I told our Monday night class, there's this old song. It came out back in the Olympics several years ago, Summer Olympics. And here's my number, call me maybe. And you know, when you found God, he was like, hey, here's my number, call me daily. All right? I mean, God is a God that says, hey, I want to talk to you. And while you're seeking me, you're going to need to talk to me. All right. And he's saying, hey, get out there, seek me. And when you're seeking, have you ever lost your keys? Anybody in here ever lost the remote? All right. I mean, anybody else ever do this? Anybody else ever put a padlock on their favorite snack? Anybody ever done it, Javier? All right. And I know that sounds crazy. All right. Saw it on Shark Tank, thought it'd be a great idea. They had these time release things that only certain times a day that these containers would unlock so that you could get the snack out. So I was like, I'm not going to pay money for that. I'm just going to put a padlock on the snack. Bad thing about putting padlocks on a snack is you got to remember where you put the key. Right? And so here it is. You've got this thing that you've got padlocked shut and you really want to eat it. What do you have to do? You got to smash it and break it down. All right, here's the thing. A lot of people know that life starts with God, but somehow forget that life is through God when they get out in it. A lot of people know that ministry starts with God, but then somehow forgets that they need God as they minister. Hey, we have kids praying that God gives us healthy kids. Am I right, parents? We pray that God gives us healthy relationships. Then we get the relationship, we get the kid, and we forget that we need God to keep the relationship and to raise the kid. And then we get out there and we stop seeking. You know why marriages are falling apart? We stop seeking each other. We stop seeking the best in our spouses. We start seeking the best. You know why the church has given up on the world? We stop seeking the best in people. We immediately say, well, they've made this mistake and there's no hope for them. Are you kidding me? There's a guy named Jesus that is hope. And as long as we're in his grace and as long as we're in the age of grace, there is hope for anybody. And our job is to seek that good. Well, you don't know what they did. I don't know what you did either. Let's start telling the whole story. Well, you don't know who they are. I don't know who you are either, but let's start telling the truth. Let's not tell the truth about everybody else. Let's tell the truth about ourselves. Every one of us in here has something that we don't want anybody else to know. Everybody else in here has done something that they wish would stay buried and they wish that it had never happened. And Jesus is the only one that says, bring that to me and I'll throw it away as if it never did. Bring it to me and I'll erase it as if it was never. I'll justify you as if it never happened in the first place. And he says, call on him now while he's near. Let's keep looking. I'm trucking. 4 minutes. All right, here we go. Let the wicked what? Change their ways. All right, here it is. All right, when we're seeking God and we're calling to God, if we're wicked, let's change our ways. I mean, you know what we call that? Repentance. We call that the moment where we look at God and say, God, I know I just made a mistake and I am not going to make that mistake again. In Jesus' name, I'm going to go the other way. I'm not going to let that mistake become my identity. I'm not going to let it define me. I'm not going to let a broken relationship. I'm not going to let a broken bank account. I'm not going to let a bankruptcy. I'm not going to let a divorce. I'm not going to let anything, my former addictions define me. You made me glorious. And so today I will walk away from the things that tried to redefine me. And I will forsake them. Let them change their ways. And then there goes banish the very what? Thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord so that he may have mercy on them. Matter of fact, can I say this? If you are in an area of life where you feel trapped, where you feel like you can't break free, that is the verse that needs to be applied to your life. Hey, go and change the way you're doing things. Banish does not mean to even allow it to creep into your mind. How many of you know when you're about to start thinking wrong? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean by that? You know, you're sitting there and you're like, oh man, really want a donut. You know, I'm just going to be honest. I called my wife the other day, yesterday. I was on my way to the church. It's about 7:30 in the morning. I said, man, I made a coffee and I left it on the counter. I said, what an idiot. You know, I left it on the counter. I said, but it's okay. I'm going to pass Dunkin' Donuts and I kind of want a donut anyway. And she said, if I'm going to be working out every night and trying to make my body better, you're going to be working out every night and trying to make your body better too. And you don't need a donut. You know, and I'm like, well, you, what a jerk, you know, because I already had my heart set on a blueberry munchkin and a chocolate munchkin. I was going to get 5 of each. They're smaller, right? Yeah, that was it. It's only $2.50 for a 10 count. And the fact that I know that shows I have a problem. All right. I mean, the reality is I wanted the donut. But when she said that, I was driving down the hill from the food city. And if you know, there's a Dunkin' Donuts right there on the right. And I'm on the phone with her trying to rush her off the phone. Literally. I'm like, okay, baby, are you almost at work? No, I'm about 5 minutes away. Why? No reason, just checking. It was a lie. I had to get right with God. The reason was, I was hoping she'd hang up so I could pull into Dunkin' Donuts and she wouldn't hear me ordering a donut. I mean, that was it. But she's on the phone. And when she's on the phone and she's telling me no, I can't do it. How many of you understand what I'm saying? All right. Same is true with God. When you're on the phone with God and you're talking with God and you're walking with God, it's hard to pull in and get a donut that God has said don't touch. Yeah. And I wanted her to get off the phone so that I could do it. And some of us are the same way with God. We want God to get off our back, or God to get off our conscience, God to get off our minds, so that we can do this. And God says this, when something comes into your mind that wants you to do what I don't want you to do, you gotta banish that thought. And so at that moment, while on the phone with my wife, there was a choice made to keep driving. You know what? Donuts never crossed my mind the rest of the day. You know why? Donuts weren't available the rest of the day. Now understand this. It's easy to banish a thought when you have a thought of worth to replace it. When you have something, and we talked about this Sunday, and I'm not going to stay on it. Manage your thoughts. Your thoughts produce your feelings produce your actions. And when my thoughts are evil, my feelings are evil. And when my feelings are evil, so are my actions. But when my thoughts are godly, my feelings are godly. And when my feelings are godly, so are my actions. What you think about becomes what you are about. Do you understand? And the Bible says it's not just about saying, I don't want it. It's about never allowing yourself to dwell on it again. God, I'm going to forgive Robert. And I don't need to. Robert's a good friend of mine. But I'm going to forgive Robert for how he hurt me. And there again, it's not true. But I'm going to forgive him for how he hurt me means I'm going to walk away from that hurt. And when the thought of how Robert hurt me creeps back in my mind, I'm going to put that thought out. I'm going to banish that thought. Why? Because our thoughts become the prisons of which we live in. Or the fields of which we run free. And so many people are in prisons of their own mind. And therefore their lives have become shut down. Do you understand? All right, look at that. And then it goes on and it says, let them turn to the Lord. In other words, God, I'm going to do this your way. I'm not only going to walk away. I'm not only going to change my thoughts. I'm going to come your way. So I want to jump down and I don't have time. Are y'all okay? We may revisit this in a couple weeks. Next week's Bible school, so Wednesday night will actually be Bible school, all right? But look at verse number 10. I just can't leave without it. Is that okay? It's another one of those that I had to stand up from my table, all right? The rain and snow come down from heavens, I like this, and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. In other words, it's like this. The rains and the waters that fall on the ground don't just produce what I need in the season. It produces what I'm going to need to plant for another season. It gives me both the source of life for today and the source of life that will keep me going. We oftentimes forget that. Remember we say it all the time, if you have a need, plant a seed. We'll plant the seed, and then when it grows, we forget to replant. We forget that we're going to need food again. We forget that we're going to need something, God's grace again. Matter of fact, that's how most addicts get back into their addiction. They break free and they forget that they're going to need something to keep them free. And so they stop planting the good seeds. You know, they've been out and they've done good for a week, so now they don't need Celebrate Recovery anymore. They've been out and so now they don't need counseling anymore. Their marriage has been good for 5 days and they don't need marriage counseling anymore. And they stop producing the seeds that need to be planted so that tomorrow can be good too. And next thing you know, they wind up back in their addictions, even worse, maybe in jail or even worse, dead. We've experienced all three of those scenarios in the past month in this church. One dead, one in jail, one in rehab. You say, what are you going to do? I'm going to take the one in rehab when they get out, and I'm going to tell them, what seeds are you going to plant now? How are you going to keep going, and how are you going to keep succeeding? And I wrote them a letter today, and I wrote them an email today, and I sent them a text message today, and I mailed them a Bible that I wrote something in the front of it today. I sent them four messages today, and today's day one of rehab, and I can't talk to them for 30 days. You say, why do you do that? Because I want them, once they're able to crack it open and start to get communication, to have so much godly communication that I keep them busy for the next 30 days. I mean, I really want them to be so swamped. I'm going to do the same four steps, except minus the Bible. I've got another method that I'm going to use, but minus the Bible, because I don't need to send them a Bible every day. That could get overwhelming. But I'm going to email them every day. Why is that? Because at the 30-day mark, they get access to technology. At the 30-day mark, they get access to their mail. And I want them to have so much mail and so many messages that they don't have time to focus on what Satan's trying to say because a whole lot of God has shown up. Do you understand? And in this it says, this is the bread. Getting them there is not what saves them. It's getting them through there and then nurturing them from there when they get out. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Now, it's the same true with marriage and kids and everything else. It's easy to use addiction because that's the easiest to pick on. But it's the same true with your spending habits. Cutting your credit card up is step one. Now what are you going to do? You need the person that when you're at the store and saying, hey, I'm going to go shopping, that says, why? Why? Well, you know, I just want to have some fun. Then let's go to a movie, or let's go walk the park, or let's go lose some weight. But you ain't going to the store. Why? Because you're trying to break the habit. Tell people all the time, whatever the habit is in your life that you don't like, do the complete opposite. If the habit is to spend, give away. Every time you want to spend, give away. If you're in debt and the habit is to spend, take that money and pay off a debt. How many of you understand it? You know what you're doing? You're planting new seed. All right, now look at this. Keep going, verse number 11, and then we'll be done. It says this, it is the same with the word of God. I send it out. And it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to. And it will prosper everywhere that I send it. May that be the verse that from now on we use in our missions teams. May that be the verse that from now on we use in our homes, from our pulpits. That today we send out the word of God. Today we proclaim the word of God. And wherever it goes, it bears fruits. And it prospers everywhere that it is sent. And so today, if I want my life to prosper, then may the word of God be sent out to me and through me. Does that make sense? Bow your heads, close your eyes, and nobody look around. Now, there is no real way to give an invitation today. There's no real way to say, okay, listen, what are you going to do? And how's this? And how many of you think this? And how many of you think that? This is one of those sermons that I believe has an individual way of being applied to each and every one of us. And I believe that way is going to be different. Some of you, it's going to be circumstantial based on some of the circumstances you're in, and God's speaking to those circumstances. And some of you, it's just going to be lifestyle, and God's calling you to a better lifestyle, and God calling you to a better relationship with His Word. And some of you, it's going to be to recharge you in ministry. And some of you, it's going to be to give you back your worth as you hear that God says you are made glorious. And I can't tell what it's going to do for you, but I will say this. Are you going to let it do it? Are you going to let it come in? Are your ears wide open? So that you can go seek. Are your eyes open so that you can go seek? Have you came to Christ? Have you listened to Christ? Are you feeding on Christ? Because I guarantee you, Christ wants to do something in your life. And at some point in your life, you have to stand and say, the day of idleness is over. I heard someone say, I think it was Monday night, idleness leads to idleness, to where we have idols in our lives that we worship. And in this, we need Christians that stand and say, God, I seek you. I hear you. So may your word be heard through me so that those around me can prosper. Anybody here tonight say, God, that's my heart's desire. To be used by you so that those around me are coming to life. So those around me have good fruit to eat. So that those around me can find verse number one of this chapter like I have found it. Come those that are hungry, and I will feed you. It is free, so take your choice. Milk or wine? Now, next week, if God allows us, 2 weeks from now, we're going to break down the milk and wine. What it represents and what God is simplifying here. So I hope that we are raising up people in Grace Community Church that are generous in their faith. Not just with their money, but generous with the truths that God has given them. Let's make Him known. Why? Because when He was made known in my life, it changed everything. And I'm praying that it's done the same for you. And if not, tonight's that night. Maybe your prayer needs to simply be, God, I surrender all.